This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد Always we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our prayers of peace for our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jal, which is that we seek to love Allah more, to fear Allah more, and to have constant hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even it may be dark days that we find ourselves in. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us khayr and acceptance and qabool, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us and our school and our staff, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us all to that which is pleasing to Him and helps us to overcome ourselves and the urge to sin and to move away from the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a question that you and I always need to reflect on and ask ourselves. And it's a question that isn't new to any person who seeks to improve themselves in anything in life. But in particular for those of us who are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have a love, hopefully for Allah and for our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the questions that you and I, that should be in our heart and on our mind as a regular basis is, am I from those who are genuinely good people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always asks us, kunu ma'as sadiqeen, be with those who are truthful, be with those who are honest, be with those who do righteous, ta'awanu ala albirri wa taqwa. That if you're going to cooperate in anything, cooperate with people who are doing righteous deeds and things that lead to piety. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ And don't ever, not even once, help one another to that which is ithm, sinful behavior or aggression against others. And in this way, whenever you look in the Qur'an and Allah speaks to the believers in particular, it's always about self-critique. Self-regulation, self-discipline, self-esteem, self-confidence, to want to see where I can become better in my relationship with Allah. And I wanted to share with you some of the thoughts that I have for myself, for my home, for my family, for my students, for our community. What are ways that you and I can begin to try to be more regular in thinking of how we can improve in life? One of the first questions central to you and I is, how well do I pray? Not do I pray or how often do I pray, but it's how well do I pray? Because when Allah speaks to the believers in the chapter called the believers, and Allah says that the believers are those who are successful, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ They are those who in their prayer find humility with Allah. It's not أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُصَلُّونَ That the believers are successful, the ones that pray. It's not whether you pray or not, but it's the depth of your prayer, your conscious effort, your intention, to give yourself for just a few seconds. Subhanallah, your rak'ah, it's literally a few seconds. From the moment you say Allahu Akbar until you fall into sujood, for some salah, it might be 30 seconds, 50 seconds. For that short period of time, how much of it really was spent with Allah? How much of it really was for Allah? How much of it really is a measure, a yardstick of my success? Because if that's the first element of success, and I can't count in a whole day of 24 hours, if I can't count seconds where I was with Allah, then where is success? If Salatul Jumu'ah that we're going to pray today, from the moment I say Allahu Akbar until I end, was something like 360 seconds, 3, 4, 5 minutes at the most. How many minutes in this day belong between you and Allah? Subhanallah, verse number 207 of Surah Al-Baqarah is a verse that I was reading on Wednesday. I do a live class for people in England on satellite TV. And the verse that I'm studying, it's called, the program is called Journey with the Quran. We're now at verse 207. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst mankind, are those يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ, are those who are willing to sell of themselves, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, they're willing to give from their self whatever it costs just to please Allah once. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, but Allah is gentle with His creation. He doesn't want you to give everything of yourself. Allah doesn't want you to give the whole day just sitting in a masjid. It's actually haram for you to give up a job and an education, to leave your family and say, I'm just going to live in Mecca. I'm just going to sit in front of the Kaaba all day. I'm just going to sit there and do nothing. And if people give me food, that's enough for me. There's no monk. You can't be a monk in Islam. You can't be a rahib. The Prophet ﷺ forbids it. It's haram for you to just say, I'm not going to do anything other than just sit there, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. I have to be productive. Do you know what this verse, verse 207 of Surah Al-Baqarah, who is it revealed about? Some of you carry his name. His name is Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib ibn Sinan al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu. The Roman, one of the dear companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now believe it or not, this man, this great Sahabi, he was a slave. He was kind of owned, part owned. He couldn't just decide things for himself. He had obligations to others. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet to tell the Sahaba to go make hijrah to Medina, everybody began to leave. But he can't leave. He owes people. People can't, won't let him go. Even after the Prophet made hijrah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's like one of the few people in Mecca left. And he comes to the people of Quraysh, he says, I will sell everything that I have. You can take everything that I own. My home, my horse, my camel, my land, my gold, my silver, my clothes. Just leave me with what I'm wearing. And let me just leave and you can take everything. But let me go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me be with the people of faith. And the people of Quraysh, they said, okay, we can take everything. He said, everything. You won't leave not even with a penny. Not even, it's just the shirt, not even your sword you can take. He said, I will walk barefoot. Just let me go. And as he exits Mecca, empty-handed, Allah in Medina reveals that verse about him to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet recites to them this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, that from all of humanity, there are some people who are willing to give up everything just for Allah, just for the Muhammad ﷺ. So the Prophet recited it, and when the Sahaba heard it, استبشروا. They were like, this, who is this? This is such a great person. And they began to stand at Al-Harra, which is the edge of the volcanic field near Medina. Inshallah, you get to visit Medina. At the, you know, in Medina, it's surrounded on three sides by massive volcanic, black volcanic rock. And Umar ibn al-Khattab used to stand at the end of Al-Harra, and as soon as he saw this barefooted man walking out of the desert, on horse it takes 10 days. He's walking, and he comes, and he recites to him, he says to him simply, "What a good business deal you did." And Suhaib says, "I'm homeless, like I have nothing." He says to him, "Barakallahu laka." May Allah put barakah for you. You know, it's not, I don't think I've done any, I don't have any business. And he recited to him, "Wa minan nas," from amongst mankind, are those who sell of themselves for Allah's pleasure. What are you willing to do for Allah? Seconds. Not asking you for hours or even minutes. Just one rak'ah where you focus with Allah. Not asking you to give up everything that you own. Wallahu ra'ufun bil ibad. Allah doesn't want everything from you. He just wants from you what you are able to give sincerely and truly for Him. So I go back to that first verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are successful. What's the sign? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. They are those who, when they're in their prayer, خَاشِعُونَ. They humble. They quiet down. They stand still for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word خَشَعَ, it means to be still and quiet and unmoving. That's the language meaning. But in salah, it means that your attention and focus with Allah. Every time you are led in prayer, you are reminded, ikhsha'u. That's where that word comes from. You always hear me say it. Ikhsha'u, istawu, straighten up. Ikhsha'u, humble yourself to Allah. Keep your eyes at the place you will make your sujood. Because if it is just seconds that you have yourself with Allah, you will be from the successful. In the second khutbah after Jilsatul Istiraha, I will speak to you about a second question that you and I need to ask ourselves. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. صلي على محمد. الحمد لله. الحمد لله حمد الشاكرين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Allah never requests of us to be self-centered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never asks us just to connect ourselves with Him at the exclusion and the expense of others. So you and I, even if we are humble in our prayer, and find quiet within ourselves and Allah, not just for seconds and minutes, which is wonderful and a great opportunity for us to connect with Allah. If in the same instance, in the same moment of our life, if we become heedless, disinterested, callous, harsh, angry, hostile, dismissive, bullying, overlooking, turning away from others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away from us. That's one of the mysteries of our relationship with Allah. That you can stand and pray to Allah day and night, but if people look at you as a person who is not soft and kind and merciful and forgiving and understanding, if you are not a person whose heart is tender and is able to help those you like and those you don't like, if your heart can give you the capacity to help those you know and those you don't know, If your heart and mind doesn't give you the will to be in the support of the ones you want to support and also the ones who wouldn't support you, somebody wouldn't do it for you. They wouldn't help you with your bag. They wouldn't help you to buy a meal when you forgot your lunch. They might have even done the opposite. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to find Him. In those who at times it's difficult to love somebody who does unlovable things, to forgive somebody who does things that they wouldn't forgive in us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ that He instructs us by saying that if you want a place in Jannah, اِعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. Forgive and forget from the one who's done something wrong to you. It's not still there, it's over and done with. Just forgive and forget and ask Allah for reward in its place. وَصِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ. And the one who neglects you, you connect them. The one who turned away from you and they don't have a right to, don't just say, I'll never talk to them again. I'll never forgive them again. I'll never be their friend. I'll never help them. And if I saw them in trouble, I wouldn't even look twice. I'd just let them drown. That is in the heart that will place you in Jannah. And one of the prerequisites of entering Jannah is Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ, that they have to remove, and I will remove from their hearts animosity before they can step an inch in Jannah. And therefore, one of the things that we seek to pride ourselves on here at Al-Amin College, and for the years that I've been here, is to find balance with justice, with harmony, and with care, even for those who may not provide it to us. We seek to have a culture of respect that leads to self-respect, justice that leads to us wanting to be just towards others. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you from those, as you continue to mature into your future, becoming those who practice that sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And I leave you with this story from the seerah. There used to be a woman who every day as the Prophet exits his home, she would put garbage in his path and thorns and things that were unmentionable to try to harm him because he told people to come to believe in God. And one day she doesn't put anything in front of his doorstep. He would wake up in the morning to remove it before others would be harmed by it. And then the second day, and then on the third day, he knocks on her door. And he asks, what's wrong? Are you okay? Is everything okay with you? She says, what makes you knock on my door? He says, well, I think, you know, I felt that maybe something's not right with you. She goes, why? He said, well, you know, excuse me for saying, every day you've been throwing garbage at my doorstep, throwing, you know, dead things in front of my path and thorns. And it's been 2-3 days you haven't done it. So obviously either you're traveling or you're sick. So I came to knock and see if you need any help. You know, in this seerah, it's not a hadith, but in this story in the seerah, she says, you know, my son lives near me. وَلَمْ يَعُدْنِي. He didn't come to visit me. And you're this person who I've been abusing all this time, and you're asking about me? Truly, these are qualities of a messenger of God. Leads her to enter into faith. A man enters the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ while everybody's there. In the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, where one prayer equals 1,000, and he begins to urinate in the masjid, in public. The Sahaba, they got up to grab him, they were going to tear him apart. How dare you come in front of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and do such a vile, indecent act? And the man says that Muhammad ﷺ simply said to them, da'u, leave him, let him finish. Don't interrupt him, just leave him. And after he finished, the Prophet says to the Sahaba, go and get water and clean it. He doesn't say, you go get water. He says to the Sahaba who were angry with the man, go get water, you clean it, and you come here. And he talks to the man away from everyone. And he says to me, ya hadha, listen, I don't even need to know your name. What you just did, la yasluh, is not right. This is the house of God where prayer is worship. فَلَا تَعُدْ. Don't ever do this again. The man says, I swear by the one who I believe in as Allah, that when he spoke those words to me with such gentleness, I felt that there was no one on the earth that I loved more than him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the way of the Prophet. Peace and blessings be upon him. It's about the care for others, even those who have done wrong, even those who have done what you don't expect of them to do. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to build a culture of love and tolerance and faith and a commitment to the way and the teachings and the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin wa'khdh al-a'da'aka a'da' al-deen. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdihim ya arhamar rahimin. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وأقم الصلاة